Hello and welcome to God in Our City, a weekly Christ-centered program highlighting what the great God of the universe is doing here in our city. Your host is Pastor Dave Watson. Pastor Dave has been the pastor of Calvary Chapel for over 26 years. He's also the founder and president of the New York Institute for Biblical Studies. But before we go live to our worship service, here's a special word from Pastor Dave.
Hello, this is Dave Watson, pastor of Calvary Chapel, and your host right here on God in Our City. This fall here at Calvary Chapel and on God in Our City, we're delving into a new series called Living iSmart in an E-Stupid World. Together, we'll be studying the Bible book of Proverbs for 12 weeks. Our hope and prayer is that we all will be wiser for it. We're giving everyone here at Calvary a 12-verse memory packet so that we can, through meditating and memorizing, hide these important truths in our heart. If you'd like the same memory packet free of charge to join us in this endeavor, please call us at 718-720-5390. That's 718-720-5390 to request the memory packet. When you call, please consider giving a gift to God in Our City so that we can continue to present the Word of God clearly to you and those living in our metropolitan area. Again, the verse pack is free and yours just by calling us at 718-720-5390. 718-720-5390. May our Lord richly bless us as we seek to live iSmart in an e-stupid world.
Wow. Good singing this morning. If you're just joining us by radio, thank you for coming. We hope that you'll enjoy your day with us today. If you're watching by Facebook or streaming, I dressed up for you today. But I'm tired of being treated as eye candy. I want to be respected as a person, all right? You may be seated. I just want to congratulate our church on an incredible weekend thus far. Friday night, we had a great prayer meeting here. We had our divas and champions for their Bible study. And then Saturday, our women had an outrageous breakfast here. Once a month, they have an outrageous breakfast here, filled downstairs with women. And then our divas actually went to New Jersey to do apple picking. I didn't get an apple pie or anything. I don't know what happened. There's obviously a miscommunication somewhere along the line. But it's coming. It's coming. Yeah, right. So we're grateful for all of that's going on. I had the privilege of preaching the first service here, and I've done something I've never done. I went and preached another church for the second service because they were interested a little bit in Night to Shine. I wanted to share with them what that was all about. So at the end of the service today, I will be very hoarse, but very fulfilled. I got to go find something to eat downstairs just to make sure I'm able to make it, though. Jay, you have more music, right?
Yes, sir.
Take it away, buddy.
Every bad, every heart, every circumstance, I believe that you are my fortress. Oh, you are my portion, you are my hiding place. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe through every bless, through every promise, through every breath I take, I believe that you are provided. You
are protected. You are the hiding place. I believe you are the way, the truth, the life. I believe you are the way, the truth,
and the life. Let's sing that again. I believe through every blessing, through every promise, through every breath I take. I believe that you are my protector. You are protector. You are the one I love. I believe you are the way, the truth. Thank you, Lord, for showing us the way and leading us to your truth and giving us new life. It's a new horizon.
It's a new horizon that I've set on you. And you lead me here today with mercies that are new. All my fears and doubts, they can all fall to.
Of what they think you're like, and I've heard tender whispers of love the dead of night, and you tell what in that I'm never alone. You're a good father.
To you are.
Searching for answers far and wide.
it be so unexplainable. I can hardly think as you call, deeper still as you call. I'm loved by you, and I'm loved by you. So I am, so I am, so I am perfect. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all your ways. So I am.
Hey, could we pray together? Lord, we're grateful today for you being our Father, for you sending your Son, the Lord Jesus, to die for us and rise again, for him, Lord, actually dying in our place. We should have been crucified for our sin. We deserve that condemnation. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you took it upon yourself. And thank you, Lord, for rising from the dead to let us know that everything you said was true and that we could place our faith, Lord, not in anything we do, not in anything a church could do, but what you did. Thank you for the historicity of that, that it's a fact. And thank you, Lord, for the life-changing reality that happens, Lord, when we place our faith not in ourselves, but in you. Lord, we pray that this day you'll help us to grow in that faith, grow in that experience of that faith. Lord, many folks here today are hurting, and there's nothing that I can say to fix the hurt, but Lord, you can embrace them. You can give them, Lord, your hug of grace, and I pray that you will do that. Lord, some of us today are not where we ought to be. Help us, Lord, to hear you, to hear what you say to us and obey. Lord, thank you that the Bible is not a book that spoke to us long ago, but it speaks to us now. And Lord, it changes us now if we'll just let it. So Lord, I'm asking you to fix me, make me more like Jesus, and do the same for my brothers and sisters in Christ. We pray these things in his name. All God's people said, amen. I hope you're thankful today, as I am, for all the staff downstairs. I just came from down there. They're doing an amazing job. If you have kids down there, you don't have to worry. They're being well taken care of. They're growing. They're learning new things. They're okay. I hope you're grateful, as I am, for the staff that makes all the sound and all of this work week after week after week. It's behind-the-scenes stuff, but we couldn't do what we do without everybody's help. So I'm grateful for that. So give a hand to everybody who's working hard today. So we've been in this series, Living Smart in an E-Stupid World, for a while. This week is our sixth week in it with Proverbs 7. We're going to talk about eye choices. Our memory verses are found in Proverbs 7, verses 2 and 3. Before we go deep into this, though, I have a picture I have to show to you. It's my favorite picture of all time. Are you ready? See if you can get it. This makes great radio, right? It's just ear corn and popcorn. You know, you see what happened to the popcorn? It got popped or whatever. There's an interesting book called Seduction by Robert Greene. And in that book, Greene says that It's a handbook on the most subtle and effective form of power and an indispensable primer on how to take whatever you want from whomever you want. That sounds just horrible, doesn't it? That there would be people who want to beat you out of whatever you have. Wait, you're New Yorkers. You already understand that. So a few years back, a friend of mine came to me and said, I'm going to give the church a lot of money after this big thing goes through. I said, what's the big thing? And they explained it to me, and they said, I just have to put $3,000 in my bank account and give them access to the bank account so they can take the $3,000 out, and then they're going to use that and give back to me like $100,000, and I'm going to bless the church. I said, wait a second. Just give me the three. No. I said, you might want to do that in a separate bank account, not your regular bank account. Well, sure enough, the $3,000 went out, and it took a lot of work to get it back, but it was a scam. Someone was trying to schnooker somebody else. Anybody here ever been scammed? Whoa. Oh, no, not us. We're people who have vulnerabilities and gullibilities and stupidities, and those result in enormous problems for us. When we come to the book of Proverbs, the 7th chapter, it's going to talk once again about saving yourself from the adulteress, the seducing woman. Proverbs 2:16 says, so you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words. Proverbs 5:3, for the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. Proverbs 6:24, to preserve you from the evil woman, from the smooth tongue of the adulteress. And then here in chapter 7, because it is mentioned so many times, it seems to me that beyond male and female relationships and the seducing that may go on either side, he has something else in mind here. He's talking about the seduction of the world that we live in, the seduction of the evil one. Actual picture of seductress, right? Listen to the words of 2 Corinthians 11, 2 and 3. It says, Paul says, I'm jealous of you with the jealousy of God, since I betrothed you to one husband to present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by the cunning, your thoughts may be corrupted from a sincere and pure commitment to Christ. So even in our Christian experience, there is this potential of being seduced by the world and the world we live in. Paul will say in 1 Thessalonians 3:5, he'll say, for this reason, when I could bear it no longer, I went to learn about your faith, for fear that somehow the tempter had tempted you and our labor would be how? In vain. So I was afraid that you had fallen, that you had been tempted, that you had messed up because of the seduction of this world, this flesh, the devil. As we begin to look at this text, it's very, very simple, but it speaks to us as being a simple person or a prudent person. It says in Proverbs 7, 4 and 5, say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call insight your intimate friend to keep you from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words. The word seductress or the forbidden woman here is a wayward woman bent on destroying the simple. The simple is an open-minded person, open to the instruction of both wisdom and folly. It's someone who says, I just want all that there is for me. I'm open to anything, whatever. It's all cool. And I'm a person who wants to experience a lot. The prudent person, and we give prudence a bad word. We think of prudence, we associate it with being a prude. That's not what it is. A prudent person is crafty, cautious, discerning, and watch this, sensible. So being prudent is not a bad thing. Today, we want to answer the question, how are we being seduced? We want to identify the simpleton in each of us and reinforce our awareness of the seductress and the seducing. We also want to learn what it means to be prudent. Now, we're going to do a little exercise. It's very difficult to do. I want you to take your right hand and extend it like this. Everyone do that for me, would you? Now, having extended it like this, put your right hand to your chest like this. and repeat after me. Sometimes I can be a simpleton. Did that hurt? You okay? Ouch. We all have the potential to be deceived or seduced or pulled away from where we should be by forces that we don't have any power necessarily over, but they're just there. So as we look through this particular set of Proverbs, we're going to look at where we can be a simple person. I resemble the simple person when I don't perceive the dangers around me. Let's read it together. I resemble the simple person when I don't perceive the dangers around me. Now, we're going to talk about somebody getting seduced into adultery, but these principles are just true. It speaks of our vulnerability. Sin lies in wait. Are you vulnerable? This guy is the wrong person. What do we mean by that? Well, look at what the text says. It says, "For at the window of my house, I have looked out through my lattice, and I have seen among the simple, I have perceived among the youths, a young man lacking what? Sense." He didn't have the sense that God gave frogs, all right? So she looked out, she saw this guy, and immediately the author is saying to themselves, that person is going to be in some serious trouble. That person, because they're not paying attention. They're not where their head needs to be. Their head's not where it ought to be. He's in the wrong place. Oh, by the way, being a sensible person doesn't have to have anything to do with age. You can be an older person and not have sense. Has anyone ever met an old fool? Well. And he's in the wrong place. This simple person, this senseless person, not aware of the dangers around them, was passing along the street near her corner. I wonder what her drapes look like. Taking the road to her house, getting very close to the problem. And he's at the wrong time. What time does he come? Look at it says. In the twilight, in the evening, at the time of darkness, at the time of night, and what? Darkness. Well, nobody be looking. I'm just going to go over and see how things are over at her house. I'm not going to do nothing. And I'll be able to resist if anything comes my way. Not knowing the danger, that there is such self-confidence, such arrogance, is troublesome. And he meets the wrong individual. What's that old song? I was at the wrong place at the wrong time, met the wrong person. Proverbs 7, 10 and 12. And behold, the woman meets him dressed as a prostitute. I assume by this is she's showing a little bit too much skin. Wily of heart. Then it says she is loud and wayward. Her feet do not stay at home. Now in the street, now in the market, and at every corner, what is she doing? Lying in wait. Important note here. He is what? Alone. I am my most vulnerable when I am what? Alone. Now some of us in this room are loners. That's, we like to be by ourselves. We think being by ourselves is a good thing. Hallelujah, I'm by myself. You can be a loner, but when you isolate yourself, you put yourself in a lot of trouble. Why? Because there's nobody to rescue your sorry rear end. Nobody to keep you accountable. Nobody to look after you. Nobody to get in your face. The worst thing you can be is alone. Oh, Pastor, I just don't want anybody in my business. There's a reason you don't want anybody in your business. Well, contrast the prudent person. They are aware of the danger in their situations. Look what it says. The prudent sees what? Danger. And hides himself. But the simple go on and what?
suffer for. So here's this individual. He's the wrong person in the wrong place at the wrong time, meeting the wrong person, thinking, I'm going to be all right. The prudent goes, I am not going near that. I am vulnerable. I could mess up. No self-confidence. I am vulnerable. I could be somewhere where I don't want to be. I could do something that I'm not supposed to do. I am not going to be that person. The prudent sees the danger and goes, hey, that would be a problem for me. There is no shame in admitting your weaknesses. There is no shame in admitting your weaknesses. You put chocolate in my house. Just put it in my house. It's gone. It's gone. Especially if I'm under stress. I'm going to eat it. Sometimes here at the office, I'll say to Sharon, we got any chocolate? Where's the chocolate? It's your job to have chocolate in the building, Sharon. We got to have chocolate. Chocolate is my weakness. So if I want to lose weight, I can't have chocolate in the house, can I? Because I'm going to eat the chocolate. We need to admit our vulnerabilities. And we need to be prudent and keep away from that which will destroy us. Proverbs 27:12 says the same thing. The prudent sees danger and hides himself, but the simple go on. Now please note the last phrase. What happens to the simple? And suffer for it. Somebody say, ow. I don't want to have to suffer for it. I don't want to have to go through the pain, through the tragedy, through the struggle, through the hurt, through the stupidity, through the guilt. I don't want to have to go through any of that. How do I not go through that? I keep myself away from the trouble. I see the danger around me, and I recognize the possibility of me messing up or losing it all. Proverbs had said about this particular situation. Proverbs chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, keep your way far from her and do not go near the door of her house. Proverbs 7:25, let not your heart turn aside to her. Do not stray into her path. This seductress will mess you up. Stay away. What is your weakness? What is the thing that's going to cause you to fall spiritually, morally, mentally, socially? Then why are you playing with it? What is his name? What is her name? What is the location? Stay away. People, places, things. I think that's part of a program. Stay away. What is God's plan to deal with youthful lust? What is it? It's simply what? Flee. Run like you stole something. 2 Timothy 2:23. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Flee. Flee. I'll look silly. You'll look sillier if you don't. Flee. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober. Be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. He'll settle for you. If you want to avoid the devil, stay out of his neighborhood. So, who I am spiritually can make me vulnerable and put me in dangerous situations. Let me explain. If you are a babe in Christ, discouragement is something you can experience easily. You can also experience that if you're mature in Christ and want to quit. But if you're a babe in Christ, discouragement, because you're a babe, is a real possibility. And then you want to quit. So you need to make sure that you see what's going on around you. Be aware of the danger that will cause that discouragement. If you are a mature believer, sometimes your self-righteousness is your biggest problem. Oh, I got this, man. Oh, I'm not like other people. No, you and I are like other people. We're broken. We need help. Where I am spiritually can make me vulnerable and put me in dangerous situations. If I'm carnal, and what I mean by that is my walk is not where it should be, I am very vulnerable. And the smartest thing for me to do is to get myself in a better situation. If I am depressed, I am vulnerable. If I'm on a spiritual high, what happens after you're on a spiritual high? You come down. What happens when you come down? All of those things make me vulnerable. I need to be aware of what's going on around me and the potential for what it can do to me. I resemble the simple man when I don't perceive the dangers around me. Number two, I resemble the simple man or the simple person when I don't perceive the deception overcoming me. Deception? What do you mean, Pastor? I mean gullibility. Sin lies. Sin not only lies in wait, sin lies. It tells you stories that are not true. And in the telling of those stories that are not true, it can ruin your life. A freshman at Eagle Rock High, amen, a freshman at Eagle Rock High won first prize at the Greater Idaho Falls Science Fair. In his project, he urged people to sign a petition demanding strict control or total elimination of the chemical dihydrogen monoxide. Why? It can cause excessive sweating and vomiting. Why? It's a major component in acid rain. Why? It can cause severe burns in its gaseous state. Why? Because accidental inhalation can kill you. Why? Because it decreases effectiveness of automobile brakes. Why? It's been found in tumors of terminal cancer patients. He asked 50 people if they supported the ban. 43 said yes. 6 were undecided, but only one person knew that that's water. That's H2O. We're gullible. We're gullible. We are so gullible. Here's lie number one. This will be a special affair. I'm an exception for this. It says there that she seizes him, kisses him, and with a bold face, she says to him, I had to offer sacrifices, and today I have paid my vows. So now I've come to meet you and to seek you eagerly, and I have found you. I've been to church. I just came from church, and I'm so glad I found you. This is going to be so special, and it's just for you. Temptation lies. We tend to think that what we go through, no one else goes through. Everybody else goes through what you go through. And just because you're going through it doesn't make you an exception. Sometimes we like to think, well, if someone else had gone through this, you do not, the fact that I'm standing, you know. This appeals to the lust of the eyes. I could be special and have this, we think. And I need this right now. Anybody here watch QVC? Yeah, raise your hand, been a minute. Ready, you watch QVC. Oh, okay, you watch it with Glennis. Good, all right, I just want to make sure. You're watching QVC, and you see something. You say to yourself, I've worked hard. I deserve that. And how many times are they going to run that special? This is the last time. Look what they said. They only have 5 more left. I need this now. And I worked so hard, I deserve this. Line number 2. This will be a satisfying situation. I have a need for this. Oh, I actually need this. Notice what it says. She says, I have spread my couch with coverings, colored linens from Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Smell good. Come, let us take our fill of love till morning. Let us delight ourselves with love all night long, man. Watch this. You're going to be so happy after this, you cannot believe it. This is what you need to make you happy. It's going to be amazing. This appeals to the lust of the flesh. This will meet my strongest desire. And if I have this, I'll be all better. It's not true. Lie 3. This will be a secret affair. I can get away with this. I know I'm not supposed to, but I can get away with this. Proverbs 7, 19 to 20. For my husband is not at home. It's a married woman. What is she saying? He's gone on a long journey. He took a bag of money with him. At full moon, he will come home. He's gone a long, long ways away. He's not going to come back till he spent all the money, and we know exactly when he's coming back. So guess what? We can get away with this. This appeals to the pride of life. There won't be any embarrassment from this. I can get away with this, we think. Contrast the prudent. They are alert to deception in their situation. They understand that sin lies, that Satan lies. I'm going to tell you the other person who lies. Watch this. You lie. The reason why I believe the lies that I sometimes believe is, watch this, I want to do what I want to do, so I believe the lie. I want to believe it because I want the fantasy to be real. So I want to believe it. So the person who's lying to me is who? Me. Me. Proverbs 14:8 says, the wisdom of the prudent is to discern his way, but the folly of fools is what? Deceiving. The prudent discerns it and goes, whoa, this is a lie. The fool goes, oh, it's true. It's all true. It's all true. And they're going to throw in Ginzu knives. Proverbs 14:15. The simple believes everything. The simple believes what? Everything, because they want to. But the prudent gives thought to his steps. In James chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, we have this interesting verse that says, do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. What does it say? Do not be deceived. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation nor shadow due to change. What it's saying is that God is going to give you and I the good gifts. So our problem is we begin to say something like this, God, you don't have my best interest in mind. Because if you had my best interest in mind, I would have this. You don't have my best interest in mind. So I'm going to have to take these things into my own hands. I'm going to have to find a spouse myself. I'm going to find a partner myself. I'm going to find a job, though it may not be the best job in the world, may not be more. I'm going to do that because you don't have my best interest in mind. Don't be deceived. Every good and every perfect gift comes from who? God. God. If it's in a moral relationship, is it from God? If it's a job that requires you to sin, is it from God? If it's a situation that's going to compromise you, is it from God? No. Every good and gift comes, perfect gift comes from who? God. This reminds me so much of Genesis chapter 3. When the devil, in the form of a serpent, comes to Eve, remember that? And he says, you know, can you eat of the trees? And he goes, well, we eat of every tree but except the one in the middle. We can't eat of it and touch it. And Satan says, God doesn't want you to eat of that tree. Has God really said that? He knows if you eat of that tree, you'll know good and evil just like him. You'll become just like him. He doesn't have your best interest in mind. He's trying to hold something back from you. God hath not said that sex out of marriage is wrong. You misunderstood what he said. God was trying to stop you from having a full and complete and satisfying life. That's why he did that. Can you believe he did that to you? He didn't have your best interest in mind. No. God didn't say be honest on your taxes. God says you can cheat the government. If anybody, you can cheat. You should be able to cheat the government. They've taken all your money anyway. You don't have to be honest on your taxes. It's okay. And then you have more money to give to the church anyway. No. God doesn't say you have to be honest in business. No. Business is business. Jesus is Jesus. They're separate. No. Everybody knows you got to do what you got to do to make your living. You know what I'm saying? Oh, another place you don't want to be deceived in this. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, they will also reap. Don't be deceived, guys. Whatever we sow, we reap. Areas that we struggle with in deception, false doctrine or teachers. It's easy to have itching ears and find someone who says something that you like to hear. It must be true. Why? Because I like to hear that. And maybe if I do send them a handkerchief, I'll have lots of money. I don't know. I'll give them a handkerchief and a lot of money. Maybe I'll get a lot of money back. That's just junk. Politics.
One of the biggest mistakes we as followers of Jesus Christ make is to think that politics or politicians will solve our problems. The scariest words in the English language are, "I'm from the federal government and I'm here to help." Life's perspectives, our love life, all of those are areas where we struggle. And we can be easily lied to. Easily lied to. The schemes that we find ourselves in, the wealth gained hastily schemes. What does it say in Proverbs? Wealth gained hastily will what? Dwindle. But whoever gathers little by little will what? Increase. I'm going to play the lotto because if I win a lot of money, I'm going to be really, really happy. You know what we know about lottery winners? Is that they're almost all bankrupt and none of them are happy. Oop, there's a lie. Oh, you'll be different. No. You're going to be the same. There may be a sucker born every minute, but it doesn't have to be you. Born again, but not born again last night. I resemble the simple person when I don't perceive the destruction awaiting me. I don't perceive the danger. Then I don't perceive the deception. Then I don't perceive the destruction. Look at what the text says. We'll call this stupidity. We had vulnerability, gullibility, and then stupidity. Sin lies in wait for what purpose? To destroy. This guy is oblivious to his enticement. Says, with much seductive speech, she persuades him. With her smooth talk, she compels him. It's like the world that we live in over and over and over and over and over and over again, saying, you need this, you need this, you need this, you need this, you need this to be happy. It never stops. And then we find ourselves chasing those things. Sadly, at the end of life, finding that we actually put the ladder on the wrong wall. And there is no happiness that way. He is oblivious to his entrapment. All at once, he follows her. He gives in. I tried hard to resist, and then I couldn't anymore. I deserved it. What's the harm? He follows her, and as an ox goes to slaughter, or as a stag is caught fast, till an arrow pierces its liver, as a bird rushes into a snare. Does the cow know that it's going to be slaughtered?
Nope.
Does the deer know that it's going to be caught and killed? Does the bird know it's going to be rushed into a snare? No. And then he's oblivious to his end. Proverbs 7:23 says, he does not know that it will cost him what? His life. For many, Proverbs 7:26 and 27 say, for many a victim, she has laid low, and all are slain are a mighty throng. Her house is in the way of Sheol, going down to the chambers of what? Death. Contrast the prudent. They are attuned to destruction in their situation. What is the possibility that if any of us gone astray, we could find ourselves on the spiritual trash heap? Is there anyone here who's an exception?
Nope.
Nope. Proverbs 14:18, the simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with what? Knowledge. Proverbs 5:21-23 reminds us, we read this a couple weeks ago, for a man's ways are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths. The iniquities of the wicked ensnare him, and he's held fast in the cords of his sin. He dies for lack of discipline, and because of his great folly, he is led astray. Ignorance is not bliss. Some lessons are better learned in the classroom than by experience. Facing reality is a great thing. I brought with me today, and they gave them out to everybody, right? A reality pill. Reach in your pocket. Take it out. With me now. Reality. Facing reality is always better, and the sooner you do it, the better it is. Last night I had the privilege of fixing my sink faucet. and I have such great skills in these things. And we'd let it go. It had a leak in it. We let it go. I had let it go because I didn't want to face it. I didn't want to look underneath there and see what was there. And what was there was rot, nasty boards. So I got to lay in the rot and the nasty boards and fix the sink. What would I have been better to do? Face reality 3 months ago and fix it, or lay on my back in the wet and the smelly and the nasty and the black mold is going to take a year out of my life? What would I have been better to do? Face reality. Yeah, next time call Rudy. I think I've used my Rudy card maybe a little too much. What are today's takeaways? If I don't want to be simple, if I want to be someone who's different than that, I need to embrace Proverbs. To give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. That's why Proverbs is here. So you don't have to put your hand on the hot stove to know it'll burn you. So you don't have to experience to see how stupid it is. And then receive correction. A fool despises his father's instruction, but whoever heeds reproof is what? Prudent. I have to be a person, or I have to ask God to help me to become a person, because I'm certainly not one on my own, to receive correction. It's very easy to do this, is to call someone, get advice, and when you don't like their advice, call someone else to get the advice you really want. Receiving correction goes, yeah, I hear what you're saying, and I think I need to make a change. I think I need to make a change. Number three, seek wisdom. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and destruction. See, wisdom and prudence and knowledge and discretion, they live in the same house. If you find one, you find all of them, right? And choosing the fear of the Lord is part of that, because seeing God as who He is and seeing yourself as you are and being appreciative of the difference. Because the fear of the Lord hates evil and pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate, but seek wisdom. Embrace Proverbs. Receive reproof. Seek wisdom. I've said over and over again in our time together in this series, who likes to be yelled at? I don't. Who likes to be reproved? I don't. Who likes to be told they're wrong? I don't. I don't like that. But if I'm going to be someone who avoids problems in my life, who doesn't destroy their life because of their own stupidity, I need to be that person who will take reproof, take rebuke, while I'm seeking wisdom and embracing Proverbs. And finally, devour the Word. Devour the Word. Psalm 19, verse 7 says, "The law of the Lord is what? Perfect. Reviving the soul." Then watch. "The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise" who? Simple. We come into this world simple. It is through time that we're molded into one of two people. The wise or the foolish. And that is done through the choices that you and I make. So sooner or later, if I'm going to be a wise person, if I'm going to be delivered from my inner simpleton, I need to devour God's Word and let it write on me the words I need to know, so that I am different, that I am who I'm supposed to be, and beyond all that, embrace it. God wants the best for you and me. We struggle with that. We think that somehow we know what's best. And we think that if we have our destiny in our own hands, that we will craft this amazing life when in reality, we don't know what's right. In reality, there's a way that seems good to me, but the end of my way is destruction. In reality, there's a devil who would trip me up, mess me up, lie to me, and just about ruin my life any way he could. In reality, I live in a world that's so broken and so crazy. Up is down, down is up, right is wrong, wrong is right. And if I follow any of that, I'm going to find myself in a heap of trouble. So there is one place, one source, one person that I can find true meaning, true wisdom with, and it's with my God. And he's written it down for you and for me. So the choice that I have to make is to not be simple, but to be prudent. I am simple when I don't see the danger. I am simple when I don't know that there is deception. I am simple when I don't recognize that there's destruction. I cannot stop from being vulnerable. I need God to protect me. I cannot stop from being gullible. I need God to inform me. And heaven knows I can't stop my stupidity. I need God to fix me. And he's the only one that can. Jay's going to come and lead us in a song, but as he's coming, let's pray together. Lord, we're grateful for who you are, for what you've done, and what you mean to us. We thank you, Lord, that we do not have to live as simpletons. We can live informed by you. We can live protected by you. We can live guided by you. We can be different people. Lord, help us to stop thinking that we can get away with sin. Help us to stop thinking that sin will satisfy us. Help us to stop thinking that, well, we got an excuse because of what's going on in our life. Help us to stop thinking, Lord, incorrectly. Help us, Lord, to understand that we're being lied to. That, Lord, it's not going to be something we can get away with. Help us to remember or to know that it's not going to be satisfying. Help us to know that we don't need that. We need you.
Hello, this is Dave Watson, pastor of Calvary Chapel, and your host right here on God in Our City. This fall here at Calvary Chapel and on God in Our City, we're delving into a new series called Living iSmart in an E-Stupid World. Together, we'll be studying the Bible book of Proverbs for 12 weeks. Our hope and prayer is that we all will be wiser for it. We're giving everyone here at Calvary a 12-verse memory packet so that we can, through meditating and memorizing, hide these important truths in our heart. If you'd like the same memory packet free of charge to join us in this endeavor, please call us at 718-720-5390. That's 718-720-5390 to request the memory packet. When you call, please consider giving a gift to God in Our City so that we can continue to present the Word of God clearly to you and those living in our metropolitan area. Again, the verse pack is free and yours just by calling us at 718-720-5390. 718-720-5390. May our Lord richly bless us as we seek to live iSmart in an e-stupid world.
God in Our City is an extension of the ministry of Pastor Dave Watson and Calvary Chapel on Staten Island. For more information about Calvary Chapel, please visit their website at calvarychapelsi.org. That's calvarychapelsi.org. Or call the church office at 718-720-5390. That's 718-720-5390. To contact Pastor Dave, please email him at nycshepherd@gmail.com. That's nycshepherd@gmail.com. Pastor Dave would love to hear from you. Also, be sure to check out his blog at nycshepherd.com. That's nycshepherd.com.